Baby boomers divorcing at record rates, and a common time to divorce, it turns out, is right now, actually during or right after the holidays. And I think a lot of people might find that surprising. So if you're a boomer, you probably don't need to hear from me that the statistics are pretty high in terms of divorce. And it's epidemic among the boomer age group. You probably have friends who are taking the train to Splitsville. You know when a lot of those breakups happen? It's right around now. But by your 50s or 60s, you've invested a lot in a marriage. Let's see if a particular marriage is worth saving. Anita Chitpala is a licensed marriage and family therapist. Her practice is RelationshipReality312.com. What's 312 mean?
Oh, for Chicago, the area code. I love Chicago.
So if I live in DuPage County, I wouldn't go to you?
You could still come.
Different area code. And you've got actually two offices, don't you, in Chicago? Did I see that?
I do, but I've actually outgrown them, so I'm going to be moving to a new location in January.
Oh. Now, these breakups are not mutually agreed to. There's always one party who doesn't want the divorce. How do you know if a marriage is even salvageable?
Well, the top thing that I look at is whether there's fondness and admiration in a marriage. So as long as both parties still have things that they admire about each other, still have positive times, even if it's not when they got married, but when they first met, the chances of me saving their marriage are still pretty good.
You might have heard me mention this before, but Malcolm Gladwell had in a book an interview with a guy who could tell within seconds if a particular couple will be divorced. And the one thing that was the most telling to him was the tone and hurtful sound of what?
Contempt.
Contempt.
That was actually from John Gottman, one of the researchers that I study and absolutely love and admire. Yes, he is.
But that is startling. And you hear that all the time, and not you, Anita, but any of us in public. When two people are talking, you can see that scowl on say, the husband's face, or you can hear, why do you always do that to me? That kind of tone. And that is one of a big indicator. And it's often that people don't even hear themselves talking that way.
Right. And even people are very proud of their sarcastic sense of humor. And so I have to educate people that there's a fine line between sarcasm and wit, because it could be very detrimental to the relationship. And so if people catch that and prevent that from happening, and they have to nurture the fondness that they have for their partner in order to create that antidote to contempt.
When you have a couple come into your office, can you tell pretty quickly if it's going to be a successful salvage operation?
Well, I kind of take the default position of being able to save a marriage unless they prove to me otherwise.
So you walk in with that assumption that it can be saved.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, again, unless there's absolutely no positivity, no respect between the partners, then I kind of take a look at, all right, maybe divorce is an option. But I really try to educate people that who teaches you how to have a healthy marriage?
Well, they have to have the desire there. Now, obviously, one party may just say, look, I'm dating somebody else. I just want to have more fun in life. And I'm just, you haven't changed the way I want you to change. You don't make me happy anymore.
Right, but my point is that nobody teaches you how to have a healthy marriage, and so people generally, the ones that I see, by the time they come into my office, they might be leaning out or they might have one foot out the door, but then I come in and tell them I could teach you how to have the kind of marriage that you want. And I even, to a lot of my couples, I tell them you could have a better marriage than when you first got married.
That's
just
interesting
give me
to me.
The time.
So that people need that kind of guidance. They can't figure it out on their own. Is it because they just keep making the same mistakes over and over again? They can't get out of the rut?
Well, Bill, look, I don't know how much training you've had in terms of...
As a married person, a lot, but not
But even for your profession, I consider myself an expert, and I got my master's, I became licensed, I had supervision, I continually do continuing education for my own professional development, and so generally people get married, maybe they do a premarital course with their priests, but they don't learn any of these skills that are essential to making sure that the marriage survives.
Give me a few of those skills.
Contempt, for example, knowing that has to be eliminated.
So catch yourself, because sometimes people don't realize, and if they heard it, they go, my God, do I sound that way? I didn't mean it. You know, they don't feel it in their heart, but it comes out sounding like they do.
Right, exactly. And then I think a lot of times with boomers, sometimes when they have when the kids come, that's when the separation happens. Like the top or one of the top reasons for divorce is emotional and physical disconnection. And so many of my couples, it's not the fighting that tears them apart. It's actually a slow erosion of the love. And so teaching couples how to maintain, protect that love by spending time together, making sure that it counts, prioritizing their marriage, making sure that they're intentionally positive.
Yeah. Well, we have some people who want to talk, so put on your headsets there. Do you see it in front of you? And let's start off with Dave. Hi, Dave. You're on WGN talking with Anita Chipala. Am I getting
Chipala?
Chipala.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Anita.
Hi there.
I've been married. I'm not a boomer. I've been married a short time, 2 years. And we have encountered some problems with our relationship. We started a couple's counseling. However, my wife has stopped going. And one of the things that bothers me most, or one of the things that I don't know how to fix, is I had finally just come to my wife and said, you know, are you in love with me? And she said, well, I love you. And I said, but that's not what I said. I said, are you in love with me? And she said she couldn't answer that.
Right.
I need to do whatever I can to my marriage to make it last. I believe it to be a lifelong commitment, but I don't know how to do it if it's one-sided.
Well, that's a very actually common scenario. I've had a recent spike in females in my office who want out of their marriage, or they think they want out of their marriage. Was the couples counseling helpful at all?
Well, I guess not, because she stopped going. I still continue going to an individual session, and she continues to go on individual, but she's not willing to continue doing the couples together.
Is she specific about what exactly she needs to be happy in the marriage?
Every time I ask, she says she doesn't know. She says she just needs time to figure out what she really wants.
This sounds like the kind of thing that would need a lot of back and forth from you, Anita, to ask lots of questions to really get to the root cause. Because sometimes I think, and Dave, maybe you would agree, is that people, they don't either know, or what they say are the reasons isn't really the truth. There's something else behind what they're saying as to the precipitating cause.
I'm a person who believes that you either know or you don't know, and maybe that's not realistic.
So you're still in love with your wife?
Most definitely, more than anything.
Yeah. Are you scared about what might happen?
Am I scared? I believe everything in life happens for a reason, but I'm not willing to go without a fight. You know, I want to fight for my marriage. I want to fight for the woman I love.
Well, maybe they could both, if you could talk to her, maybe Anita has a different, maybe that's a
just
problem.
Just give me a call.
Yeah, just give her a call and then see if something might evolve from there. But Dave, thank you for calling WGN on this.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's not all that uncommon, what he's saying.
No, absolutely not. And what he was saying about how when he asks her, well, what do you need, what do you want, and she doesn't know, I mean, that's super important to continue for yourself. Like, if you don't know what makes you happy, then how is your spouse supposed to help you?
I would wonder in this case if she's going just to go because she can't say, I want a divorce, but she's not, doesn't have her heart into the counseling.
Or she might be confused. I mean, a lot of the women that I do work with, they say, well, I love my husband, but I'm not in love with him. And so I caution people to not make a decision about your marriage based on a feeling, because feelings can change.
What about some of the common things that happen where people feel that their individuality, their identity, their personality almost is being subsumed by the other? Is there an imbalance that sometimes you have to figure out and correct in a relationship?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of my couples, they do stop doing the things that have made them happy. And being mindful of that and making sure that you do the things that you enjoy, that you like, that make you you. A lot of my couples, when I ask them to write down a list of the things that they probably have done when they first met and now have tapered off and not do anymore, it could be pages full of things.
Yeah.
So that's super important to be able to.
It takes work.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just do this, do that, next. You know, it takes a great effort, because these change inexorably and slowly, as you were saying, over time. And suddenly you turn around and go, my God, I have new feelings for this person and they're not good. What had happened?
Right. It's a slow erosion most of the time. And that's why I really want people to spend every day a little bit of time to connect with their spouse.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. And you can talk to Anita Chipala about her business, RelationshipReality312.com. And you have offices in Chicago. Where's your new one going to be?
Just Lake in Michigan, just down the road.
Oh, okay, very close to where we are right now. What are the little things that people can do if maybe they feel they're on that slope of erosion? You hear sort of the pat answers about put a little extra spark in your life, do something different, go out on a date. I mean, do these little things matter? Do they actually make a difference?
They actually do. Basically, research shows that it's the ways that couples talk to and respond to each other on a daily basis that can predict whether or not their marriage stays together or not. And so there was a study of newlyweds who, when they were talking with each other, interacting with each other, they had an acceptance rate of 86% of what are called the bids, so like a bid for connection, and the spouse would respond in a positive way. The couples that later divorced, only 33% of those interactions were met with some positive feelings.
So it's interesting because those, you know, bringing home flowers to your wife, just saying, paying a compliment. Those can actually are correcting little adjustments that make a difference.
Yeah, you have to have a positive mindset in order to make sure that your marriage stays strong. So focusing on the positive, not necessarily focusing on the things that you don't get. I had one client who said that she saw, you know, her husband had left a pile of clothes on the floor, and she chose to think about the 6 loads of laundry that he did do. And so that was a mindset shift that will definitely help their marriage in the long run.
Yeah. Takes both parties being willing to try to do something to make it work. And if one party is throwing in the white flag and the towel, it can be tough. But you even try to get their eyes to open back up to the marriage and remember what was good and maybe see it anew.
Yeah, and I tell them that even if I can't save their marriage or they're totally done or one partner is done, at least they'll still get the skills to prevent the same problems from happening should they meet someone else or want to get married again in the future.
Anita Chapala, is it rewarding work? I have to believe it is.
I love it. It's my dream job. I consider myself to be semi-retired just because it's not work to me.
Yeah, but it's tough. It is work too on occasion. And it must be painful to you if you can't save something.
What do you mean?
Well, if you can't save the marriage, if they come to you and pour out their guts with all that's wrong and needing correction, and you do your best, but it doesn't work,
happens. That is definitely heart-wrenching, but like I said, I try to find the silver lining by at least giving people the tools that they need to make sure that the next marriage
works. And, Anita, some marriages should not be saved.
That is true.
Because, like a lot of women, are in relationships that are either abusive mentally or physically, and...
Yes.
Those are relationships you should be running from.
Absolutely.
What is this about renegotiate your marriage? What do you mean by that?
Well, because I want couples to think that if the marriage that they had in their 20s and 30s probably is not the same kind that will work for them when they're in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, especially once kids come into the picture. And so I talk to my couples about setting aside some time every year to renegotiate their marriage, what's working, what isn't, what their expectations are.
To acknowledge verbally these points. Let's take one more quick call. Okay. Gene, we have a couple of minutes to go. Go ahead. You're on WGN talking with Anita Chapala. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Over the last couple of years, I kind of discovered through some research and, of course, thanks to, you know, social media, that the movement or the men's rights movement that's currently out there, and it's been very revealing to me, and I ran into a set of rules called Refaults Law. I don't know if your guest has ever heard of this before.
What was that first one? Refaults?
Refaults Law. It's like BRIFFAULTS.
All right. No, she hasn't.
I'm not familiar.
Why don't you tell it in 10 seconds? Give us what it means.
Okay, well, Refaults Law basically says that women actually control what goes on in a relationship, and because of this law, and it's a law of nature, which dictates that men are viewed more as a resource rather than a partner in a relationship. And then, you know, and this is coming from the men's rights advocate side, where men are being viewed as that resource, and when that resource is exhausted, women move on to the
next resource. They're expendable, yeah. Well,
expendable.
Yeah, Gene, thanks for that call, because a lot of people do feel that with pregnancy prevention methods now and independence and financial independence that a lot of women have, you know, what is the role that a lot of men have? And I think there is some emasculating that may be going on the part of a lot of men in terms of what they feel they bring to a relationship now.
True. I mean, I have a lot of women I think women in general are known as the emotional managers of a relationship. Maybe sometimes it can come across as controlling, but I definitely work with a lot of wives who do want their husbands to be partners, and they do want them to step up in a partnership.
And to open up about feelings. you feel good about it. It's not girly.
It's not. But I think we need a social movement for that one, Bill.
RelationshipReality312.com. Is that actually the name of the company?
It's not. It's just RelationshipReality312.
And the .com is your website.
Is the website. Yes. Right. Thank you.
Anita Chupala, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.